drop of gobble side, and then after that we'll open up the car. Just a little longer, and the drop of gobble shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to Jesus, his redemption's glory found. Just a little longer, and we'll meet him in the sky. Just a little longer, and the trump of God shall sound. Just a little longer, and we'll all be glory bound. Look away to Jesus, your redemption.
Amen. Just open our prayer, praise God. Heavenly Father, we praise you again this evening for another opportunity to come in to your presence. We thank you, Lord, that your word says and declares that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be in our midst. Lord Jesus Christ, we plead that name over our service. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives afresh even this evening, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that once again you'll be pleased to come and fellowship with us by your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we'll know your presence. And that, Lord, we will, Lord, be expecting, Lord, to hear from heaven, that we'll be expecting to hear from you. Lord, give us great expectations, I pray, Lord, for you are a supernatural God. You're not bound by the things that we are bound with, Lord. You're never tired. Lord, you're never in a bad mood. You're never grumpy as it were, Lord. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are forever the same. Your word says, behold, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Lord, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And we thank you, Lord, that we can depend on you, that you are someone with great dependability because you remain the same always. And we thank you, Lord, that you have declared in your word and showed your character throughout your word. And we know that your word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, on today, on forever. So, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. Lord, we know that when you were on this earth, Lord, you done many things, Lord. You had compassion upon the sick, Lord. You had compassion upon the outcast, and Lord, you were an evangelist, Lord. You went to those that were needing saved, Lord. You said that they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they which are sick. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, you've done all these things. And Lord, even as your friend Lazarus died, Lord, you wept. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, this evening that you'll comfort all those this morning at this time. Pray, Lord, for the Malcolmson family this time. Lord, that indeed you'll draw near to them and comfort them, Lord, through this time. And I pray, Lord, especially for Ian. Lord, fellow needs a touch from you, Lord. He needs deliverance. I pray, Lord God, you'll grant it to him in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord God, that you, Lord, raised up that woman, Lord, to have a testimony among, Lord, an awful lot of people, Lord, who can testify of how you've saved her. And even her own lips, how she testified of you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've saved her. And Lord, that she's been promoted to glory. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, that's the greatest comfort of all to know, Lord, that when someone goes from this scene of time, Lord, they're absent in the body, but present with you. And Lord, what a wonderful blessing it is to know. And I just pray, Lord, even though, Lord, people will be bereft of a parent, of a mother, I pray, Lord God, you'll bless them and undertake for them. And Lord, those bereft of a friend, Lord, comfort them also in the name of Jesus Christ until we would meet again. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that during this time, Lord, coming up to the funeral and over the funeral service, I pray, Lord God, that the people that's not saved, I pray for our sisters, Lord, and family members that's not saved, that you'll move upon them and convict them with the Holy Ghost, and that you'll save them in the name of Jesus Christ, that they too would come to know the same Saviour that Lila knew and trusted for so many years. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Realise this evening, Lord, that there's nothing greater than soul salvation. Lord, It really is a matter of life and death. And Lord, the most important thing is to live. The most important thing is life. And Lord, you said that I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So Lord, we pray above all things that you'll save souls in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we ask you, Lord, again this evening in our own fellowship, Lord, if there's any family members represented here that's not well, Lord, this evening, or any ways afflicted, we pray you'll draw near and touch them, Lord, and especially those that's not saved in our own families, Lord, even backsliders, we pray, Lord, you'll visit with them, convict them of sin, Lord, and lead them to repentance, for your word says it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, again, that you'll be long-suffering towards them, even long-suffering toward us, Lord. Lord, in our many feelings, Lord, in our walk with you, Lord, help us, Lord, to redeem the time. Forgive us all our trespasses, all our iniquities, in the name of Jesus Christ, and wash us afresh for your precious blood. Even this evening, as we come boldly into your presence, and give us a boldness and a liberty, Lord, to ask the things that we have need of, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you take care of us. And even, Lord, when we don't deserve it, Lord, you still do good things for us, Lord. Even, Lord, when maybe we forget something, Lord, you still know and undertake for us. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you undertake for us. And we give you thanks and praise for all the times, Lord, even times we're not even aware of. But, Lord, we know of a surety that you have been taking care of us. And, Lord, we thank you for your hand upon us, for protecting us when we travel in our cars, Lord, for bringing us back and forth to our homes in safety, Lord, bringing our family members home. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over each one and each family here this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Help us as we sing and worship, and bless the pastor as he comes and shares from your word this evening, and anoint him with the Holy Ghost, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Well, we'll
sing another couple of courses, and then we'll hand over to pastor this evening. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him. For his love surrounds me like the sea. Then we'll sing that one, How Great Is Our God.
Wherever I am, I'll be
Lord bless you. I was looking to this spider when it came in up above my one time I was in Africa preaching and the lights on it was near dark. And I don't know what type of a bird it fly it was, but it wasn't like a fly here. It was massive. But it took an awful liking to me. Oh, this spider doesn't. Amen. The Lord bless you tonight. We're going to turn to Corinthians tonight, but I was wanting to go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I've been studying a wee bit about Absalom. But I just didn't feel I had enough time on it to do it justice. So I've skipped it a week. Maybe the Lord will bring us back to it next week, and then still wanting to do something from the book of Kings, maybe we'll start into it, the Lord willing, and the Lord's always willing. Let's stand our feet and let's read 2 Corinthians. And I want tonight to speak for a moment on sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. And the Lord bless each one. And just to say, because I'd near forgotten myself, Lila Malkinson went on to be with the Lord. Brother David rang me, messaged me just a few days ago. And she was a powerful wee woman. She had served the Lord most of her life at Ainur. And I'm sure long before that. And I know Brother John knows her well, and they used to have meetings at her house and things. And she has one son, full time in the Lord's work in Limerick, and he runs that School of Christ down there, and he travels all over the world. She has another son, that's Keith, and then she has another son, Paul, and he's in America, and he's pastoring two churches in America. And then there's Ian as well. Ian was saved when he's a young man, but he's fallen away, and the scary said he needs your prayers. But she was a powerful wee woman, and just want to keep remembering the family in prayer. You know, at this time, she lived out in that wee farmhouse, I think, by herself, didn't she? And I know the boys wouldn't have seen her that often because Keith didn't get up often and Paul's away. But she's in a better land tonight, isn't she? She's in a better place. Let's read this in, and then please remember also, Brother John's going, it's not long, the Easter meetings, and Andrew's coming here, he just messaged to confirm the other day, and I have confirmed that meetings were allowed to hold Friday night, Saturday night, the two meetings on Sunday, and her sister Carl has a wee notice up, different places, and they're on the board out here as well, in case anyone forgets. On this Sunday night, 7 o'clock, 1 hour later, because someone else is using the hall, and her brother John will be preaching on the Sunday morning. So remember all these meetings. Pray the Lord will have his way. And we need a real revival. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let's read from verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Let's just bow again. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord while every head's bowed and every eye closed this evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we have a privilege that we can come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we come pleading the merits of the blood of the Lamb tonight. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Sanctify us and fill us every one afresh with the Holy Spirit tonight. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will, in Jesus' precious name. I take authority over every other spirit. May every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you'll have your way in this house. And ask especially for the hands raised. You know every need, whether it's financial, physical, or mental, whatever it would be, Lord, we bring it before you. And we just pray and ask. You're our Father, and we're asking our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll meet our needs. And that you'll bless this service tonight. Bless the services lie ahead, or Sunday morning for Brother John, Sunday evening. And Lord, prepare our brothers. He prepares to go to Australia. And Brother Andrews, he prepares to come here. May you have your way, Lord. And may Jesus Christ be uplifted and glorified, we pray. Now, Father, bless your own word tonight in this service. And bless your people. Maybe some that couldn't be here. Maybe someone sick or working. But we pray for each one that you bless them. For all the nurses and doctors, bless and strengthen them. And we lift Israel before you again. We pray you bless your own people. Strengthen them. Hedge them in on every side with your goodness and your mercy. And strengthen them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I know these are familiar scriptures, and we know these scriptures, but it's good to rehearse them. It's good to be reminded of them. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. And Ephesians 1, 13, 14 says this, "In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, after ye believed." Sadly, many people get saved, but they don't go on after they believe and get sealed. But God doesn't want us just to stop when we get saved. He wants us to continue on after we're saved, after we believe, and he wants us to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the glory of, unto the praise of his glory. The Lord's coming again for a group of people. And sometimes my William will say to me, "Dad, is a rapture real?" And I'll say, "Yes, God's going to take his people of this earth. The blood-washed, spirit-filled are going. They're going, for they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's coming for them. And they're going to be taken. And they're going to go. And they themselves won't be able to stay. They're going to be took. There'll be no choice in the matter when this happens. All of us that are sealed and ready, we're going to be took. We're going to go. Am I going to leave?" And I said, you know, those that's not ready is going to be left behind. And tribulation's going to set into this world. And the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Talks about it. And it says it's a time which has never been seen before. No, not from the beginning of time. It's going to be a terrible time. And the mark of the beast and all them things, and you know it's going to come, and you can't buy or sell without it. And but we're glad tonight to have the seal of God, aren't we? The seal of God. Now the sealing guarantees three things. The first one's ownership. When you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, it guarantees ownership. And that's listening through Galatians and listening down through Philippians and them scriptures on the phone. I found English reading Bible, and it's really good, King James, and it's not Scofield because you have to pay for it now, but this is another one. This is near as good. It's the wheel. I don't know if anybody has it. It's a blue Bible app. It's like a wheel. You just flick it and go through the chapters and verses. It's brilliant. But you can go on it and pick American language or English or whatever, male or female and all that, and it's really good. I didn't know all this worked on it, but Naomi found it all for me and has it all set up now, can work it, and it's brilliant. But I'm telling you see, God is a father and we're his children. When we're really born again and we're really saved, we have a Father. Not only have we a Father, there was a radio going on the other day, and I heard a man on it, and he said, "Father so-and-so's come on this morning." It was an English station in England, and I can't remember the man's name, but he said, "We haven't had him on in years." And he was Father so-and-so, and all what he said was all right. But Jesus says we're to call no man Father on this earth, for we have one Father, which is in heaven. We are not allowed to call another man Father. Now, we have an earthly Father in that sense. I'm not talking about that. But we have one heavenly Father. We have one whom we address as Father. Now, he's a Father and we're his children. We are part of the family of God. Amen. And all the benefits that comes with it is ours, because we're part of the family of God. And the first thing this sealing guarantees is ownership, that you belong to the Lord. And the devil actually can't have you when you're sealed. Did you know that? He can't have you, for you're the Lord's, and the Lord owns you. And the Lord's going to have you. And there's our dear sister Lila Malkison went on, and I believe she had the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, she's in the presence of the Lord right now. And her body will go. It's an old coat that she's thrown off. And there'll be a frame put in that casket. But she's no longer there. She has a soul that was precious in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible says in the Psalms, "Precious are the death of the saints in the Lord's eyes." She's went on to be with the Lord. But one day, when the rapture takes place to catch it up, the graves are going to open, and God's going to miraculously move in that actual body that was left and reunite it with her soul. And I don't know how it's all going to happen. I can't explain it all. But the Bible says it, that the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, and we'll meet the Lord in our 1 Thessalonians 4:16, if you know the scriptures. So ownership, then, authenticity. Authenticity. He seals us to show that we are his own. We're not just a nobody. We're the children of the Lord. And I'll tell you another thing I've been noticing when you're reading through all them things. Paul wrote a lot of them. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But I was thinking about this. Say Peter wrote some and somebody else wrote some. But they're all dovetailed because it's the same Holy Ghost. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's no mistakes in the Bible. Let me tell you that right now. People years ago used to say there's a mistake in the Bible. Man said to me, "Isn't there mistakes?" And I says, "Where are they?" "I don't know just now." I says, "Well, when you find out, let me know." He couldn't tell me, for there is none. But there was mistakes in him. There was plenty in him. But he never named them. But there was none in the Bible. He sealed us to show that we're his own, doesn't he? Here's the other one. Completion. Completion. You see, when you're sealed, you've made it. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight. I'm not saying that you don't live for the Lord and all them things. But I'm telling you now, when the Holy Spirit seals you, you're going to heaven. That's the end of it. And no matter if the Methodists line up with 50 colors and preach for 100 more years that you're saved and you're lost, that'll make no difference to that matter. For that's a false doctrine from hell. That's where it's from. But it's not from heaven. It's either from heaven or hell. It either glorifies the Lord or doesn't. But I know that Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, for all that you have given me has come to me. And no one that you have given me have I lost none." Now the Lord's telling that he's lost none. And then a man preaches he could lose you. Now I'll tell you, it's like a brother George says to me last week, going out here, and it was true what he said. He said, "You imagine your son was drowning in the water, and you jumped in and you pulled him out and you saved him. He's not lost, he's saved. You've saved him, and he's saved. That's it." And when the Lord saves you and seals you onto the day of redemption, that's it. So this seal's important, isn't it? Really important. You see, in the ancient world, people would mark valuable property with a personal seal so that there would be no doubt about who owned it. And even you hear them talking about the king's signet, the king's seal, and the scrolls used to be rolled. And they were rolled up on a wee, they were tied, and then there was wax melted on them, and you had a round thing like that, it was a seal. It was, they were melted, and you hit it with it, and that was a seal on it, and that couldn't be broken until it reached its destination. It was sealed till its destination. And the old letters and everything used to come like that. That's not that long ago, really. But you see, there was a stamp of authenticity on it. And I might not say that word right, but you know what I mean. It was stamped where it come from on everything till it reached its destination. And no one else could open it because it wasn't addressed to them. Only the person it's addressed to can open it. And I tell you, when we are truly born again with a simple believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and we've repented of our sins. I seen a baptism of a young man a few weeks ago, and I know the young man. And he's got demons. I know him. But he doesn't want rid of them. He's hanging on to them. And he was baptized. But the baptizing will not get rid of the demons, even though it was done in Jesus' name. He still has the demons. Because there's one thing missed. You see, a prophet of God said, when we follow the full prescription, God's under obligation. But if we don't follow the full prescription, there's no obligation. And you see, he didn't do the obligation. Obligation was repent. And when you really repent, you don't do it no more. It's about turn. The figs and all go in the binner over the hedge. The whiskey or the vodka or whatever else, it goes along with. Get it smashed against a wall somewhere, for it's only dirt. That's what I think of it. It'll only get you into trouble. But you see, he held on to what he had. And you see, he was deep into drugs and stuff. And I'm mentioning no names tonight, but he was really deep into stuff. And then the doctors give him a more milder way to do it. But it's just the same devil he's feeding. And I tell you, you can pat the devil, but he'll still bite you. He'll still bite you. But he doesn't need patting, he needs casting out. And I tell you, only when there's true repentance will that demon go. But I want to tell you tonight in this service, when the anointing of God really comes, and the Spirit of God really moves, demons will cry out in terror. They'll be glad to get out. That's the truth. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we're truly have the proper baptism and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and God puts a seal of ownership on us when he gives us the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says, repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. But some people never repent. They hold on to the sin. Then they say, why hasn't the Lord filled me? Well, he's not going to work like that because he didn't say that was the way of it. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who have also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Seals also function as an official guarantee of the correctiveness of the contest and the particular thing. How did you know if someone is really a true Christian? The answer is simple. How do you know if they really have the Holy Spirit? Let's read Romans 8, verse 9 and 10. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So just like I said the other night, when we lived for the devil, we had no righteousness. We weren't interested in it. We were living and sinning for the devil. But when you're born again, you've got righteousness. You won't want to do the things you once done. You've come attempted to all them things, but you will not deliberately want to do it. The Spirit of God will convict you and move on you. You'll not want to do it because you're changed. You're a new creature. You're born again in the Spirit of God. And the Bible warns us not to go back to the rudely elements of the world, doesn't it? The seal of the Holy Spirit is the life of the believer. It's God's guarantee that we cannot be lost, but we're freed from the power of sin. You know, there's one scripture says sin will have no more dominion over you. There's another scripture, after Jesus rose and died and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, Jesus said, death's no more dominion over the Lord, the apostle said. And he's mentioned also of ourselves, sin will have no more dominion over us, death will have no more dominion over us. In that he died once, he died unto God, but in that he liveth, he saves us. This flesh might die, but the soul that's born of God, when you're born again, it can't die, but the soul that sinneth can die. That's why we need sealed with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit seal is a guarantee of inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Ephesians 1:13-14 tells us that. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto till the praise of his glory. Our experience of the Holy Ghost is but the taste of full payment. This is the reason Paul gives us such a solemn warning in Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed. Excuse me, unto the day of redemption. You know, we want to try and do the right thing before God, don't we? I believe we are doing, but I'm just saying. God owns us, really. Paul said he was a prisoner to Christ. The Lord owns us. We're not our own. Just like a man is the head of the wife. And when they're joint, they're one. They're not two, they're one. And the husband is the head of the wife, and he loves his wife. She's the weaker vessel. That's what the Bible says. And he's her head. And he loves her. And he's to cherish her. So Christ is the head of the church, and he loves the church, and he cherishes the church. Now, we're not the head of Christ. Christ's the head of us. So we don't tell the Lord what he's going to do. He needs to tell us what he's going to do. And he's not obeying us in the sight, but we need to obey him. We line up with his word, don't we? And we submit to him. We submit to the Lord. And we come one with the Lord. One with the Lord. So that his thoughts become our thoughts. The Bible says, cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination, and let them go from us. And let his thoughts be our thoughts, and his ways our ways. For his ways are in our ways. And we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct our paths. Not wonderful. We want the Lord's thoughts. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's nothing to do with the flesh. As the coming of the Lord nears, all of us are getting older, not some of us. We're all getting older. The flesh isn't improving. It's not improving. It can't improve. After you reach a certain age, you're on the decline. That's the truth of it. But you see, in the Spirit, it's different. Because in the Spirit, you're changing from glory to glory. There's an improvement. And I tell you, we're going to be like the Lord. Amen. Let me read you this from a message called The Patmos Reason. And I thought I'd read this tonight because some people get confused when they talk about the church ages and the Spirit of God moving in the ages. They think, they preach really, that in this age, God done something that never happened in another age. That's not true. That's not even scriptural. Now, we know that God sent a ministry to turn our hearts back to the apostolic message, what the early church had. But the early church had it. The restoration. Now, you fellas that keep nice tractors and all, you know yourself better than me. You're more better to talk about it than myself. But you know, a 7,000, I like a Ford 7,000, so we'll take one of them. Now, if I put a set of massy rims on her, I don't know if they fit her or not. I've no idea. But let's say she's a Ford 7,000, and I put the massy badge even on her. She wasn't made like that. Whatever way she was made, the color of it, the bonnet, the wheels, you have to return her to her original condition. Now, you don't put an extra bit in there. You took her back to what she originally was. That's restoration. You don't add on or you don't take away. So you have to be able to look at her and look at 1 year ago when it was made, what it's like, and then look at one now that's restored back. It must be identical. That's a proper restoration. And the Bible talks about a restoration back to the apostolic faith. So tongues is what is spoken in the book of Acts. So we need tongues today. Because they had them, we need them. And I know a lot of people say, well, I don't really know anywhere puts too much emphasis on it. Really, do you? Most of them don't even bother with it. But the Bible definitely puts emphasis on all the gifts. And love, we need the love of God, don't we? Loving one another. But let me read you this evening. How thrilling it is to think of the seven lamps drawing life and light from the resources of the main bowl. This is the seven golden lamps in the tabernacle, which represents the seven church ages. I want you to get this again. Drawing life and light from the resources of the main bowl because they had their works dipped therein. Each church age messenger depicted here, his life is on fire with the Holy Ghost. His wick life has been immersed in Christ through the wick. He has drawn the very life of Christ. And by it gives out light to the church. What kind of a light is he given? The very same light that was in the first lamp was lit. And right on down the ages to present time of the last day messenger, the same life and the same light is manifested by a life that is hid with Christ and God. So the first lamp that was lit, the second one will be the same, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. It's not drawn from a different bowl. So this business of a different Holy Spirit or something different, it's not in the Bible. I'm sorry, it's not in it. It's the same Holy Ghost. And there's one bowl. And all seven drawn from the same bowl. And if we're going to get the Holy Spirit tonight, we want the same baptism that the first church got. We don't want something different. Now you see a lot of boys today, and they're like this, here it comes, and all this stuff. And they're blowing people over in chairs. They're waving, they take the coat off, and they're doing it. I don't read if the apostles ever doing that. There's nowhere in the book of Acts that Paul or Peter ever worked like that. That's a show. Now you come to find out that one fellas came out of them and he's told how he was trained with witches and he went through a whole palaver stuff that he would have power over people, but that's not the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you one thing, that the Holy Spirit, the real Holy Spirit, meets that devil, it'll overcome it. I'll tell you that right now. Because you know when the wee woman followed Paul and shouting, he's the great man of God. One day he had enough of it and he turned on her and he cast the devil out of her. Isn't that right? And her masters were upset that their gains was gone. Not only can we speak thus, listen to this, on the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They're all drawing from the same source. Every believer. They have all been dipped into the same bowl. They're all dead to themselves and their lives are hidden with Christ in God. They're sealed in the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 4:30. Now people are saying that maybe a certain man had a different baptism than the ordinary person had. But that's not scripture. How could they have? If the Holy Spirit baptizes one man and another man, if it's the same Holy Spirit, it's the same baptism. There's only one baptism. We're all baptized into one body by the same Holy Ghost. One Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where we are sealed on the day of redemption. No man can pluck them out of his hands. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The inner visible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. Satan cannot touch them. Not even death can touch them. For death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Thanks be to God. They have the victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The same Holy Ghost. I tell you, that encourages me tonight. So when someone has a new book out and he says, do you want Wigglesworth's mantle? This is what they say. Or do you want John G. Lake's mantle? I'll be saying, no, I don't. Because I'm not John G. Lake and I'm not Wigglesworth.
And them men was born when they were born, and God used them men. But I'm born now in a different time, in a different dispensation. But I want the power of God from my own self. And I want the anointing of God from my own self. And I don't want it second hand, I want it from the Lord. I want the real thing, the baptism of God. And if God could use one of them men, he could use you or me, because he's no respecter of persons. And he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty. That's what God does. Thank the Lord tonight, he's real, isn't he? Now I'm almost finished. Revelation 7, verse 2 to 4. And I saw another angel ascend from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I'm telling you, God is going to seal 144,000 children of Israel. Now, if our seal is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's our seal. Everybody believes that tonight. Then they have to receive the same baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not nothing different. I know people, dispensationalists, and they preach that, gospel they're getting is different and all that there. But a prophet of God said, the same Pentecostal message we get, they're getting. And Moses and Elijah's coming to preach it to them. And they're going to be sealed. And God's going to seal them, and God's going to save them. 144,000 of them. And God's going to do it. And there's going to be big trouble at the time it happens, for you've just read it. But he says to the angels, hold back till we get them sealed. Once they're sealed, let loose. And I tell you, that's not far ahead. Israel's our time clock. Revelation 9, verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. There is a time coming of judgment on this earth, and only the seal of God can come through it. I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. And we need to be inspired tonight. If I can do nothing but just inspire you, that every one of us is filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we need to pray our families in. We need to pray that God saves them and gets a hold of them. Moving on them. And God can do it. Praise God. Let's come and let's pray tonight. Have a time and remember these different meetings that's laying ahead. I just pray the Lord will have his way. Amen. And I tell you, we really want to seal of God. I do. I believe God has sealed me, but I want more of the same Holy Ghost. Amen. A refill. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the seal of God. Lord, I pray you'll fill every one of us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Help us to burn for you. Let the fire of God come upon each one of us. We heard the other week of the fire of God. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, we need that fire of God burning on us. Burning through us. Burning up all the chaff, the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Leaving the finest of the wheat. Father, we pray this evening that you'll move. And each one in this service, each one, Lord, that comes to the meeting, stir them up, Lord. I pray. And ask you for all our children and the husband, the wife, all that's unsaved, represented in our families and homes. Lord, we claim every one of them. Pray you'll speak to them. I pray you'll move on them. We pray you'll draw them to yourself and save them and seal them, so that, like the song says, that the circle won't be broken on that day when you come for your people. Lord, help us tonight, I pray. Help us and fill us, I pray. And bless your word to their hearts and meet every need. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Just let's continue to pray.